Welcome to the last audio file of Mishnah Yomis for Masechet Shabbos. We conclude with Perek Chav Dalid, Chapter 24, Mishnah Dalid. Hilei Nishmas, Rabbi Yisrael ben Rav Yosef, it may be Elias Neshama for Mr. Izzy Shindelheim, Alav Shalom. The Mishnah Dalid, the fourth Mishnah, begins as follows. Mechatchin Esad Luyim Lifnei Behema. It is permissible to cut up gourds for an animal on Shabbos. These gourds, seemingly that were already plucked, already picked before Shabbos began. Usually, deluyim are considered food for human consumption. But nonetheless, if a person wanted to cut them up for an animal to eat, it would be permitted. That's an avela lifnei haklavim. It is also permitted to cut up an animal. You cut up a dead animal in order to feed it. One's dogs on Shabbos, even though this animal was not dead on Shabbos. Nonetheless, it is permissible, if it were to die on Shabbos, to cut it up as food to war for one's animal. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Im lo ha'isa nevela me'erev Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, if this animal was not a nevela, if it was not dead on erev Shabbos, asurav nish'ina min amuchan, it would be prohibited to cut up this animal on Shabbos. It was deemed muksa, and therefore it would be usher to cut up on Shabbos. Even if this animal was sick on Erev Shabbos, a person would think to himself, I want the animal to become healthy. I do not want it to die. It's a tremendous loss. And therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, a person cannot cut up one's animal, even a sick animal, unless it had died before Shabbos. But an animal that was alive when Shabbos began is usher to cut up to give feed to one's dogs. But the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda, and it is not considered muksa to cut up a animal that died on Shabbos in order to feed one's dogs. Perek Chav Dalid, Mishnah Hey, the last Mishnah in the entire Masechet Shabbos, begins as follows. Mifirin nidarim b'Shabbos. A husband is permitted to nullify the vows for his wife. A father can nullify a vow for his daughter on Shabbos. V'nish'alin l'dvarim, shehin l'tzorech ha-Shabbos. Similarly, we could go to a chacham. We could go to a wise man and have him also figure out a way to nullify, not to cancel, to figure out a way that the certain vows should no longer be applicable. However, there's a condition. The only way a chacham would be allowed to have these vows no longer be applicable, only when shehin l'tzorech ha-Shabbos. Only when these vows have to do with something that pertains to Shabbos. For example, if a person set upon themselves a neder not to eat today, then a chacham has an ability to somehow uproot these vows. Why is it, though, that a father or a husband can uproot any vow? It doesn't appear there's any condition with the vows you'd be able to uproot on Shabbos. And the reason is, as described in the Torah, in Parshas Matos, a father or a husband could only nullify vows b'yom shemo, the day that he hears them. And therefore, even if the vow has nothing to do with Shabbos, there's an expiry date on these vows, and therefore it does have somewhat to do with Shabbos. When Shabbos ends, the father or the husband will not be able to nullify these vows, and therefore they must be done immediately, even if the vow has nothing to do with Shabbos. Whereas a chacham could nullify, has an ability to uproot, has an ability to cancel certain vows at many different times, not just the day that he hears it, for an extended period of time, and therefore the only way he'd be allowed to have a vow no longer be applicable is if this vow had to do with Shabbos. Otherwise, they should wait. It should not be done on Shabbos, but it should be done. The person should approach the Chacham after Shabbos to nullify vows. Have vows be canceled that do not pertain, they don't have anything to do with Shabbos per se. Mishnah goes on. Pokagin es hamor. It would be permitted for a person to stop up on Shabbos a hole in one's home. let's say you had a window, you had an opening, and now there's a hole there, you'd be able to stuff it up. It's not considered bonev. Umodidin es hamatlis the es hamikvah. And it is permitted to measure on Shabbos a piece of cloth, piece of material that came into contact with a sheretz, a dead sheretz, a dead rodent. And after it came in contact with the sheretz, which is metame, this piece of material, piece of cloth, also then came in contact with an item that was tahor. And what we'd like to know is, we want to know, is this piece of material, is it large enough to contaminate tuma onto this item that was tahor? What is considered a large enough piece of material which should be metame other objects? And the answer is, if it is large enough, it is a measurement of 3 etzba'os, 3 by 3 fingers. And if it is larger than that size, it is metame. Smaller, it does not have the ability to become tame, nor does it have the ability to be metame. And therefore, it is permitted to measure the size of this piece of material on Shabbos. And also, it is permitted to measure a mikvah on Shabbos to know if it is the proper height. 1 amma by 1 amma by 3 ammas, that is the proper size of a mikvah. Usually, it is prohibited to measure things on Shabbos. A person might come to write things down. But for Dvar Mitzvah, you want to know, is this piece of material large, it was a metame other objects, or is our mikvah kosher? We need to know this on Shabbos, and therefore, with Bar Mitzvah, it is permitted to take the measurement of items on Shabbos, whether it's a piece of material, is it metame or not, or is this mikvah kosher? Does it have the sufficient size in order for it to be considered a proper mikvah?
Umaseba Gmei Aviv Shabitzara Gmei Abba Shaul Ben Bosnis. There was an incident that place in the time of Shabitzara, the time of Abba Shaul, the son of Bosnis. Shepakiku as a Moor Betafiach, the Kashu as a Magdera Begemi. What happened was the following complicated situation that pertains to laws of Tumah and Tahara. These two different homes, both these two homes opened up into an alleyway. Both these homes contained windows that opened up into an alleyway. In one of the homes, there was a dead body. Over the homes, over the alleyway, there was this almost tub. There was this tub that had a crack in it. And the question was, if this hole in this tub, which was like this rooftop hanging over these two homes, suspended over the alleyway, if this crack in it was smaller than a tefach, it created an ohel, din of an ohel, a tent, and it would in fact transfer this tumah, this dead body from one home, through the window, into the alleyway, into the next adjacent home. If in this rooftop, this tub rooftop, had a crack in it, it was larger than the size of a tefach, then this roof did not have the ability to transfer the tumah, which was lying, from one home to the adjacent home through the alleyways. So what did they do? They did the following very clever idea. In one of the homes, the second home that did not have the dead body, there was a window. And the first thing they did was they stuffed up that window immediately to ensure that the tumah would not transfer. They then stuffed up the second home with a pitcher which is not mekabel tumah. They were able to stuff up this second hole to ensure that the tumah would not transfer to this second home. And then they measured the opening that was suspended above in this alleyway. How did they measure it? They lifted up what's called a kli cheres. They lifted up a earthenware fire pot, which was 1 tefach by 1 tefach. They tied it to a reed grass. This was this Mekadera Begemi. They tied it to this reed grass. They lifted it up and they measured the opening. They extended it to the crack in the tub on top to see if the opening was as large as this fire pot, which was the size of a tefach. And finally, the Mishnah concludes, what do we learn from all this? We learn from this story, from this incident, we learn a very important lesson that a person is permitted to measure something which pertains to a mitzvah on Shabbos, and a person could even tie a knot to enable a mitzvah on Shabbos. However, it is important to note, this the knot that one ties, even to our mitzvah, cannot be a durable knot, because kesher shekayama, that would be usher, but other types of knots would be permitted to tie for dvar mitzvah.